Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Let's talk.
Presented by Sean Bolger.
Good morning, it's 11 minutes past 11. It's Friday morning, and that means it's time to catch up on the week's news from the travel industry. And joining us once again from ABTA in London is Sean Tipton. Sean, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Now, lots to talk about this morning. Let's start with some good news about... I think that's always a good thing to do. New Zealand city of Christchurch is bouncing back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there will be some people listening who've been to New Zealand. It's a stunningly beautiful country. I've been there a couple of times myself, but it did go through some really terrible times 6 years ago when the city of Christchurch is on the South Island. It's the largest city in the South Island. Very pretty place. It's very English. It's full of rather nice neo-Gothic buildings. But it was hit by an appalling earthquake. I think it killed getting on for 200 people and did some really severe damage to the city, particularly the historic centre. The cathedral, which was a rather lovely building, was pretty much destroyed. So, you know, very, very tragic, terrible times, but it's pretty much coming back to not what it was before, because there's still quite a lot of damage there, but they've done a lot of rebuilding, and I think the new buildings they're putting up, I think, are going to be much more, which there almost certainly will be at some stage, more earthquakes in the area. I think they're more likely to survive rather than collapse, as some of the older buildings did in New Zealand. So if you're thinking of going, I would certainly say, yeah, go and visit Christchurch. It's a lovely place, and I think it's a tribute to the people that they've shown so much resilience that they are coming back, because it's unfortunately after the initial very massive earthquake there was another one which was pretty bad as well. So but anyway, highly recommend visiting. It's not just Christchurch itself, which is a very nice city to visit. The area around it's pretty much the best area in New Zealand for wine growing. It's the Marlborough region, which and I don't know if you've ever had that cabinet of wine from that area, but it's really lovely, beautiful, particularly the white wines, really, really nice.
Okay, and am I right in thinking that you know, in the earthquake, the tourist sector must have been hit very badly?
They were, yeah, because if you were going to go to the South Island, you almost certainly would have based yourself in Christchurch, at least initially, and because of the damage was so bad, it was basically the tour operators had to take it off their itinerary. And obviously, you know, in terms of something as tragic as this, holidaymakers, it's not the most important thing, obviously, apart from ensuring that they're safe. But it did mean, yeah, that we had to make other arrangements for people, send them to other cities. So anyway, cross fingers, that's going to be a thing of the past, certainly for quite some time. So, you know, seriously, I really strongly recommend, if you're thinking of going to New Zealand, you know, don't think Christchurch is a place you can't visit. It's pretty much come back to where it was before, apart from some damage remaining in certain parts of the historic centre.
Okay, let's talk about, let's get into the air now, and something I mentioned a moment ago, that a new Concorde could be in the skies as early as next year.
I
can't believe this.
Well, let's hope this is true, as I've talked about this a few times. There's quite a few aviation companies saying that they've got replacement, not necessarily identical to Concorde. I think a lot of these planes, they're going to be rather not quite the same size, a lot smaller. But there's a company called Boom Technology based in America who are saying they've been quite bullish about this, saying that they expect to have a commercially available supersonic jet from next year. So if they get this right, again, I have talked about this before with other companies and it hasn't actually come to fruition, but if this one actually does happen, you might be able to fly to New York on a supersonic jet next year.
Wow.
Now that cuts down the flight time. I think Concorde did it in about 3 hours.
Yeah,
so that's quite something.
I never did it. Did you?
No, no, it's too expensive. Even working in the travel industry,
I was just going to say, do you not have any friends in the travel business who could sort you out a cheap ticket?
I think they charged about like £5,000 for a return flight on Concorde, and that was when it was flying, so it may probably double that.
Wow.
So I think that might be an issue here as well. I mean, these companies who are saying they're going to bring in these supersonic jets are saying that it will be a lot cheaper, so I think that's the main issue. If this is, you know, something, we need to have a situation where these flights are more affordable for the average man in the street rather than just, you know, multi-millionaires. Yeah. So, but anyway, we'll see.
I'm slightly concerned. I mean, I understand that the name of the company is probably to do with the sonic boom.
Yes, indeed,
boom technology.
A bit worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't sound too good to me. Listen, let's stay in the air. And something I was talking about with somebody yesterday who was rolling their eyes again because we had another French air traffic control dispute. What is this all about?
Well, French air traffic controllers tend to strike on a fairly regular basis. Sometimes it's about their money. Sometimes it's about their terms and conditions. But I think on this one, there's been talk for quite some time about rationalising the air traffic controller network throughout Europe, because at the moment it's done by each individual country has its own air traffic control system, and air traffic controllers employed by that system. It's not the most efficient way of doing things, so that they are talking about rationalising that and bringing it all together in a more centralised way, which actually is a sensible way of doing it. But that does mean, though, that it could end up with redundancies. So I think that's part of the reason why we've had these regular strikes in France. Do you remember we had the air traffic controllers in Spain went on strike a few years ago because they were complaining that they were only getting something like a 20% pay rise, which was quite shocking at the time when you were going through very tough economic times. So, but the thing about when we have strikes affecting the French travel industry, they, unlike in other countries where they're often threatened as a negotiating ploy and they don't go ahead, in France they nearly always do. And the problem with that, it has a knock-on effect. It's not just flights to and from France. Obviously, it's flights going over France as well get affected by that. Sometimes they're cancelled, sometimes they're delayed. So it's something to keep an eye on. They will always announce these strikes in advance. And unfortunately, they nearly always go ahead. So if you're travelling over that period, it's almost certainly going to affect you, even if you're, as I said, not flying into France. If you're flying over it from Spain back to the UK, it almost certainly will affect you.
And the frustration also, I suppose, because the airlines, airlines need to keep their planes in the air to keep them making money. So sometimes, even if you've got a flight that's going nowhere near France, the previous flight may have done, and that gives you a knock-on effect on your flight.
Exactly, yeah. If you get flights in, you know, they're supposed to be in one particular place and they haven't been able to get there yet, it does have a knock-on effect. So it may be just something that goes on for a day or two, but the actual impact can last much longer than that.
And insurance-wise, do the airline have to look after you if that happens?
The airline have to look after you, yeah. The first, they've obviously got to get you an alternative flight, but if it means you end up staying in your destination for a day or two longer, then they've got to pay for hotels, etc. They don't have to pay compensation because it's not their fault, but they certainly have to look after you in terms of overnight accommodation if it comes to that. And also you can put a claim in for refreshments instead of food, drinks, etc., which are proportionate to the length of the delay. So it's an EU regulation that says they have to do this, and they're generally very good about it. Some of them weren't too happy about that when the regulation first came in, but now they're pretty good and they just do it without arguing.
I know this dispute has been a bee in Michael O'Leary's bonnet at Ryanair for quite some time now, and he's been trying to organise campaigns to get the impasse sorted out. Is there any sign of any movement?
I'm not sure, to be fair. I mean, I know that this dispute has been ongoing for quite some time, and the impact on the airlines is not just the inconvenience to their customers, it costs them a lot of money as well. So, but my experience of, as I said, with the any kind of industrial disputes in France, they tend to drag on for quite some time. They're very militant, sometimes for good reason, but it does mean that it makes it quite difficult for these things to be resolved quickly.
Okay, and the other big story this week, of course, is we're not sure if it is a coup yet in Zimbabwe. It might be a coup, it might not. Robert Mugabe's hanging on and saying he wants to keep control. We'll see whether he does or not. But what's the Foreign and Commonwealth Office advice for people travelling to Zimbabwe?
Well, when the coup, or as you say, or whatever it is, first occurred, the advice was for everybody to stay indoors. Now, there won't be too many British holidaymakers not just British, obviously, but foreign holidaymakers in Zimbabwe, because of all the economic problems that have come underneath Mugabe's rule have meant that the country, which used to be incredibly popular, the numbers just went down massively, but there will still be some adventurous travellers there. So initially the advice was to stay indoors. The current advice, it's been watered down a little bit. They're saying that you should avoid demonstrations, public gatherings, and certainly, know, if you get your camera out and start taking pictures of soldiers on the corner with, don't do that, it is illegal, and they probably would arrest you. So just avoid the temptation of taking a few snaps to send home about in terms of what's happening on the street, but certainly, definitely avoid any public demonstrations.
What do you do if you inadvertently get caught in the middle of a situation like this? It's difficult to know where to turn for help.
Well, again, it's a question of who you've gone on holiday with. If you've gone with a tour operator, you'll almost certainly be part of an organised group, and the tour leader, they're the person, follow their advice. But if you've made your own arrangements, keep a close eye on the news, really, and follow the advice from the local authorities. And they almost certainly would be saying the same as the Foreign Office: stay indoors initially and keep away from public demonstrations. So sometimes easier said than done, but usually when you see these kind of situations occurring, it tends to be centred around the capital, in this case Harare, obviously. But I heard reports coming out of Bulawayo, which is the second bit of city, that things were nowhere near as bad. So it can really depend on where you are as well. If you're out in the countryside, probably won't even notice things are going on. So, okay. But if you're in the capital, you certainly will.
And to the High Commission or the consulate or the embassy, will they step in and look after you if things do turn unpleasant?
If you were arrested, yes, they would do their best. They do their best to get you out. But the thing about all of this is, in something as unstable as this, it really is important that you make sure you are as vigilant as possible. Keep away from demonstrations. Don't take pictures. Don't get yourself involved in political conversations. So just be very careful.
I imagine the initial reaction is, I just want to get out of here. Will the embassies and consulates arrange facilitate that?
Again, if you've gone on an organised tour, and I would say probably most people going to Zimbabwe would do precisely that. That would be the tour operator would be doing their best to arrange that. So the Foreign Office, they will give you assistance as much as they can, but they're not really in a position to get you out of the country if things go very badly wrong. I think if things went drastically badly wrong, then the Foreign Office itself might arrange to evacuate people, which they have done occasionally in the past. But it's not the first thing you should look to them to do. So if you're going to part of the world which is maybe slightly unstable, or you need a level of extra protection, I'd strongly recommend you do it as part of an organised tour through a tour operator, rather than just going independently.
And also keep an eye on the Foreign and Commonwealth Office website.
Exactly. Go on their website, check the travel advice. They will update it as and when, you know, the situation improves, or even if it deteriorates. So keep a very close eye on that.
Okay. Sean, that's fantastic. Are you off on your travels this weekend?
Not this weekend, no, but I might be heading off to Mallorca in a week or two.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I can tell you, Mallorca today, 20 Celsius.
All right.
Sunshine, light to moderate southwesterly winds. There we are. Let's hope it stays that way till next week. All right, Sean, thanks very much for joining us. Sean Tipton from ABTA. He's back next Friday at the same time, just after 10 past 11 here on TRE.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.